Welcome to episode 11 of High School Counseling Conversations. You're tuning in to part two of 6 tips for facilitating high school counseling small groups. If you haven't had the opportunity to go back and listen to part one of this episode, head back over to episode 10 and give that a listen. Then come back here for the second part so you can finish out 6 tips for facilitating high school counseling small groups. Let's get to the show. High School Counseling Conversations is a podcast where we talk about exactly that, a casual potpourri of school counseling topics intended to grow us as school counselors, but also give us space to enjoy each other's company. I'm Lauren from Counselor Click, and I'm sharing my experiences and perspectives as a high school counselor. No topic is off limits, and I'm certain we'll cover it all. I'm your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Whether you're just getting your feet wet as an intern or you're nearing retirement, you'll feel like you're just popping in to catch up with your school counseling bestie. Let's go. Setting up a predictable structure for your group. Students, especially high school students, need structure. They crave it. At this point in time, they do want that independence, but there is something reassuring and safe about structure. I think we all know this to be true, especially as we're seeing high school students push the boundaries of structure and independence, or we see students who don't have a lot of that structure at home. We know that it is good for students, especially when they are within the bounds of home and rules, and the predictability is just something that they crave and desire, whether they know how to vocalize that or not. So even in a small group, to create safety and consistency, let's set up a very predictable schedule. So what do I mean by this? The schedule, the structure, it does not have to be robotic. It does not have to be the same script and phrases every single time. I just want you to think through the same things each time as you're planning it, because this is really actually going to help you feel more confident in your planning. Start with what you want them to learn from this session in this small group. Like, start with the ask them mindsets and behaviors and work your way backwards. This will help you decide what is most important for them to take away from this session, and then what do I want to build into this session so that that is a success when they leave. At the beginning, I would always start with the norms and the expectations that you have for students. However, in the very, very beginning, I would have them have some input on what those norms and expectations are. That way, each time you start group, you go through these expectations and you can remind them, hey, I know this sounds silly to bring this up every time, but it is for the betterment of our group. If we remember things like, we keep everything here confidential, we are off of our phones and paying attention to each other, whatever they have decided is important to them in a small group, you bringing that up week after week will really reinforce that, and it will remind them that they're the ones who actually came up with these expectations to begin with. Something very simple that I think can set up a predictable structure for your group is starting and ending on time. So I know that's really hard when you've got stragglers coming out of class to get group started on time, but the more lax you are on starting on time, the longer it's going to take them to get there. If they know that they're going to miss something fun when group is starting, they're going to hustle to get there. And then when you end on time, that's really going to build some trust and rapport with your teachers who might be a little nervous about lending their students to you anyway. So starting and ending on time is a very practical way to build structure into your small group, and it's a very important way to build that structure in. Now, each group, you can put your own spin on what you're going to do each time. I like to start each group with some sort of icebreaker or easy question to answer to get everybody talking and everybody comfortable. So it could be a check-in, like tell me your highs and lows for the week, or the peak and the valley, like another just language thing for highs and lows, or rose, bud, and thorn. Like the best part of your week was the rose, the bud is maybe something you're hopeful for or expecting for, and the thorn was something that was either really hard or rough or something you don't want to revisit. So use some of that language, or just come up with a game or an easy question for everybody to answer. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to have any materials, just to get them talking. Okay, and then you're going to teach them something, have some conversation, and do an activity. I think there is so much value in doing something alongside somebody else and being able to talk while you're doing it. You could also listen to music some weeks. You could bring food. Make it fun. Think about if you were in high school, is this something that you would like to be doing? You want your students to be excited to come each time, but then that structure will also give you some freedom to not feel overwhelmed at the planning of the small group. It could actually be fun because you can kind of change things up, but you'll still have the predictability of the order of things that you're going to go in. And then decide each week how you're going to close out. Are you going to have an action step? Are they going to take their activity with them and report back the next week? I would usually take some sort of action step and send them out with something and know, okay, this is how we're closing group, because next time I want to ask, how did that work? How did you take this into the real world? Our fifth tip for facilitating small groups is the dreaded managing those trying personalities. So when I asked on Instagram what were some of the barriers to facilitating small groups, this was a big one. And even if it's never happened to you, it might just be really intimidating thinking about the potential of this happening to you. So I've got a couple different personalities that could be in a group, and I want you to think, do I know this student? Have they been in a group of mine before? How did I handle it, or how would I handle it? So that first trying personality is the student who takes the group off topic. They take the group in a completely different direction, and often it's hard to jump in between their breaths, right? They start sharing, you don't know how to interject, you're trying to pull it back in, but they are telling a story and you cannot even get them to take a breath for a second for you to redirect them. So the moment that you can jump in, I want you to thank them for sharing. Like, they had some story that they felt like was very valuable to share with the group, but you could redirect it and try and get it back on topic by asking them, just straight up ask them, how do you feel like that relates to that? Or how did you get to that story from what we were talking about? I kind of like breaking the ice with something funny like that. Like, I'm confused. I don't see how that was connected. And then maybe you'll actually be surprised at how their brain works and how their brain got to that story. I would definitely redirect that student and not let them completely hijack the group and take it off topic, because that is not fun for anyone. Okay, up next is a student who completely dominates conversation. So if you are seeing this as a pattern, like this is what this student is going to do each time, I might address this outside of the group, like a one-on-one conversation, maybe after group one day. And you could say something like this: I'm so glad you feel comfortable sharing. You might be an out loud processor, and I am too, actually. I wonder if you could help me bring out the quieter students in our group. Do you ever notice Julio sitting over there? He doesn't say as much, and I wonder if he just needs some quiet and some space to process, because I see the wheels turning. I wonder if you could give some of these quieter students some space to share, because this is a group that we will learn from each other when we are each getting opportunities to share. And again, maybe you're just an out loud processor because that's what I am, but I want everyone in the group to have a chance to share. And so maybe you're issuing them a challenge to see how long they can wait before they share, or maybe the student sits next to you and you give them some sort of symbol or like a hand sign when it's okay for them to share. It just depends on your student's personality and what your level of rapport is with them. But I think you can start building a rapport where you can really speak into that and give them some signals or some signs or some encouragement that what they're sharing is actually very valuable. And it's really cool that they're willing to share and talk to the group, because that can be hard for some people, but you want to be able to give that same space to everyone in the group. And they really could help you with that. Then on the opposite end of the spectrum, here's the student who doesn't share at all. So with this one, I would just try and get them to take baby steps to sharing. So I might be straight up with some of the questions, like, we're all going to go around and answer this question. And I would definitely do something really easy at first, like, you know, one of those icebreaker questions. Make it the norm that everybody is answering the icebreaker question. And then even when you get into the meat of the content of what you're wanting them to learn or practice, do a couple of those as well. Like, we're all going to answer this question. Another tip for the student who doesn't share at all is by asking them directly. If you know that they are not just going to absolutely die or melt into their seat, ask them directly, what do you think about that? Or, Adriana, what advice would you give Sophie? Like, connect two people in the group together to give advice. Like, you know, students are going to say, well, what should I do about this? And they're going to give out some scenario. Try and connect the quieter student to give that person some advice. Or, you know, when someone does actually share, you could say, what would you tell a friend who is having this issue with the same thing? So you're trying to pull things out of them, but give them that safe place to do it. And also be direct. You know, they're only going to get out of this group what they put into it. So if they're going to come there and sit in silence, it's not going to benefit them. That might also need to be an outside of the group, individual, one-on-one conversation. Then I think that the last one that I thought of, the student that might be tough to work with, is maybe one who just shows up every other time. They're not fully committed to the group, but they like to come to group when it's convenient for them to get out of class or something. So again, individual conversation. I think it would be important to address with this student why their attendance is important. No one else in the group is going to feel like this is a trustworthy group if they can't depend that everyone is going to be here and hear the same stuff to build on that relationship week after week. People are sharing sometimes very vulnerable things. And if somebody is not there for some of that, that vulnerability and that building upon the thing from the week before is gone, or it's not there. That foundation is not there. So it's a little weird and awkward when someone pops in every other week or every 2 weeks. So, you know, if a student is only committing to half of the time of being there, then maybe they're not the right student for the group. And it's okay to let them go. But chances are, if they're coming, there's something intriguing about the group. They just might need to have that addressed as, hey, this, your attendance actually is important here, and here are the reasons why. Like, maybe they just haven't processed that or thought about that on their own. Okay, and then my last tip for facilitating a small group is leading with a co-leader. So maybe this is a tip for if you are leading with a co-leader, or a tip to inspire you to start a small group by choosing to lead with a co-leader. So this could be another counselor, like in your department, and you could be completely strategic about this. Maybe you pick somebody with more experience leading groups because you want to learn from them. Or maybe you pick somebody in your department and you invite them who has less experience than you because you want to multiply yourself and go out and do different groups. Or you just want to build their confidence, and two of you together would be more fun and it would build that confidence. You could pick someone who is completely different from you so that, you know, different students in the group can see themselves in different leaders. Like, if I process things out loud, I might pick somebody who's a little quieter, who's a little more reserved, because a student that I invite to the group might relate to that counselor a little bit more. Or you can pick somebody that you completely vibe with. Pick your counselor bestie and run a small group together, because I promise that will be so fun. It'll just keep making you want to do more small groups. Maybe you have an intern. That would be a great opportunity to take an intern under your wing and run a small group together. Or you be like the intern's co-leader. Let them take the reins and you're just there to help and to add in and to bring some confidence when things get awkward or uncomfortable. You'll be able to give them some feedback that they wouldn't get if they were doing it on their own. You also have a lot to learn from interns. Interns might be in the middle of taking their group counseling class, or they might have some great ideas to try from grad school. So you, as a veteran or as an experienced counselor, could learn a lot from an intern. A couple other people that you could ask to be co-leaders with you: consider the mental health counselor in your district or in your school, if you're lucky to have one in your school. You could invite a social worker to do a small group with. They have skills in counseling that could be really valuable to running a small group alongside you. Another idea, and maybe this is a combination of one of those people, is a bilingual counselor. So find somebody who, for example, speaks Spanish and have a bilingual group where you're running it in English and Spanish, or students are able to share in both of those, where it can really be a melting pot. Because if you have students whose first language is Spanish, they might feel more connected to other Spanish speakers, or they might feel like they can express themselves better in their native language. I have not run a group like this, but I have seen a group run like this at my school, and I thought it was so cool. They saw so much growth in their students because these students got to connect with other students in their native language that they had never really had the opportunity to do in an American high school before. It was really cool to watch. Okay, and then some tips of just leading alongside that co-leader. Be approachable and humble with your co-leader. You're going to learn things from this other person, this other counselor, whether you have the most experience or whether they have the most experience. It doesn't matter. If you are approachable, you can take feedback, you can give ideas. Y'all are going to be a great team, and this is going to be something really fun that you'll probably want to replicate. I would also say when you're leading with a co-leader, have a conversation ahead of time. Is one person taking the lead and the other person is just kind of the assistant helping, or are y'all splitting things evenly? Or is one counselor doing the icebreaker and then one is leading the activity and then the other one is closing it out? Just kind of decide how you're going to run through things and who is going to lead what. It makes the facilitation actually just run so much smoother. And then you can also think before you go into the group, what are our goals that we're hoping for today? Like, is it just to get everyone to answer this reflection question that we have at the end because we want to know how people are doing and where they are in their progress? Is the goal of the group today to keep Mitchell on track? Or is it to encourage Juanita to share her own thoughts, even if it's something small? So decide what your goals are for the group. And if you talk about that ahead of time, you can really celebrate those together or encourage each other to get there when you're still in the group. Those were a lot of tips. Those were 6 tips for facilitating your high school counseling small groups. So I will have them all listed in the show notes, but let me run through them real quick if you're still listening and you just want a refresher of what we talked about. We talked about listening more than we talk. Number 2 was reading the room. Number 3 was being okay with silence. Tip number 4 for facilitating a small group was setting up a predictable structure. Number 5 was managing those trying personalities. And number 6 was leading with a co-leader. So there is so much to think about, but I hope that those basic tips will get you more confident and get you to a place where you're excited to run small groups, because even if it's been a while, you can still do it. Put yourself out there, put one on the calendar, decide to do it, and I cannot wait to hear about your successes. If I've boosted your confidence a little bit and you want to try a small group, but you're just not sure of what materials to actually use, try one of my high school counseling small groups in my TPT store. I have a variety of different topics to choose from, like stress management or even career exploration. So for a list of all the small groups and a detailed look of what's inside, go to counselorclick.com/groups. If you want a specific example of something you might find inside, head over to counselorclick.com/stress freebie. You can download a free sample activity for my stress management small group. You'll also get this link in the show notes. So be sure to head over there to the podcast description as soon as you get done listening to this episode so that you don't forget. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All of the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Send me a DM at counselorclick. That's CLIQUE. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I'll see you next time.